With U.S. forces now in control of most of Baghdad, some military watchers are starting to look north and to wonder whether the regime of Saddam Hussein might make its last stand in his hometown, Tikrit. Tikrit is about 100 miles north of Baghdad on the Tigris River. Today at Central Command Headquarters in Qatar, Brigadier General Vincent Brooks said U.S. military planners are focused on the city to prevent Saddam's forces from using Tikrit as a place to try to restore control or to hide.
There have been some forces deployed in and around the Tikrit area. Many of them have moved as we were having more and more success on the southwestern side of Baghdad and the southeastern side of Baghdad. The amount of force that remains in Tikrit, we are still making assessments of.
Brigadier General Vincent Brooks speaking in Qatar today. For more on Tikrit and its significance in Saddam Hussein's Iraq, we turn now to Qadir Hamza. He ran the Iraqi nuclear weapons program until he defected in 1994. Dr. Hamza, beyond being Saddam Hussein's hometown, what is the importance of Tikrit to Iraq?
Well, it was actually, this is the main point for it, but being his hometown, he turned it into the next capital of Iraq, the second tier of resistance. So when Baghdad falls, everything moves on to Tikrit and become the fort in which he hides in or holds in his regime. All documents have been made either another copy of or the important one being moved to Tikrit more than the last year since the conflict started heating up. So Tikrit is becoming more or less now the unofficial capital of Iraq.
What do you know about Tikrit? What kind of a city is it?
Actually, Saddam tried to turn Tikrit into some kind of exclusion zone for his supporters. Supporters only are allowed, people from the surrounding tribes. There is a special dialect which became more and more pronounced with the regime taking hold of the country. And as such, it became very difficult for the rest of Iraqis to get into town, get any kind of service. Of course, it is very elaborate in building services. Everything is first class there. It has a university, though it is not a big town, not a university setting.
So a Tikriti, somebody from this town in recent years, has been associated in the mind of Iraqis with the regime, with Saddam Hussein?
Yes. You see, this is where he picked people to staff his special security organization, his own bodyguards. Then he expanded that organization to become the organization that runs all Iraqi military industry, including weapons of mass destruction. They actually safeguard these installations, and also the products, say chemical weapons, biological weapons, are held for safekeeping by them, and they are the one who issue these weapons to the field commanders for use.
Dr. Hamza, before I let you go, you had spoken to us when the weapons inspections were still underway, saying the most successful pursuit of, say, chemical weapons would have been achieved by taking Iraqi scientists with their families out of the country, interviewing them.
Yes.
At this point, do you have any idea whether Iraqi scientists are, in fact, now, after the what appears to be the collapse of the regime, being sought out for that sort of interview?
Yes, I expect that, and I expect they will start cooperating immediately. I'm not at liberty to talk because some reporters called me yesterday about some finds which are being explored now, and I'm sure those finds were also part of the scientists telling people where things are.
But you're not only talking about the vats or the shells that we've already heard about found in the field. You mean
much more.
Much more than that.
Much more.
Well, we look forward to hearing more about that, Dr. Okay. Hamza. All right. Thank you very much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Qadir Hamza, a nuclear physicist who ran the Iraqi nuclear weapons program for several years until he defected in the 1990s. He spoke to us from his office in Virginia, outside Washington, D.C.